Well, just before Ed comes to preach God's word to us, we're going to read two passages this morning. The first comes from the end of Luke's gospel that we read the start of just a few moments ago, from Luke chapter 24 and verses 44 to 49. Luke closes his account very helpfully to us, book ending it with these words that we'll read together. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 49. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And again, Luke continues in the book of Acts. And we're going to turn there now to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, and read these opening words from this book also. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'"
Well, good morning. Lovely to be able to connect with you. If you don't know who I am, my name's Ed Neal. I'm the lead pastor here at Grosvenor. And we are starting a new series in the book of Acts this morning. And I'm really excited about this. It's been a real joy for me reading this book over the last number of weeks and just seeing God at work and the things that are hopefully going to encourage and challenge us as a church over the next little while. As Peter was saying, do consider reading it personally yourself over the next number of weeks and using that app that is recommended in the weekly email that goes out. Well, let me ask for God's help as we come to look at his word. Almighty God, our Father, we recognize that as we open up your word, that this is a dangerous thing. That your word is powerful. If we heed it, it will give us great joy. It will restore our soul. It'll make us wise. But if we reject it, our God, we know that that is something that will have fearful consequences. And so we pray for your help. We need your spirit that we might have soft hearts and ready wills to listen, to learn, to believe and obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, can I ask you, if you haven't got your Bible open in front of you or your Bible app open, to please do that. Go back to Acts and chapter 1 and we will be there in just a moment. I was out for a walk with a friend of mine. We were on the Wexford sort of rocky coastline, watching the waves crashing in just over the Christmas holidays. And this friend of mine, his name's Anthony, he's in his 50s. he's just a capable man, such a kind man. You know, if something goes wrong, he is the man that you want. So if the power goes out, he's the one that'll bring you a generator. Your car breaks down, he turns up with his tractor. Alongside being kind and capable, he is just someone who sort of oozes self-confidence and certainty. He's a successful businessman. Alongside that, he does a bit of farming and fishing. He's a competent dad. And yet, as we walked along that coastline and we talked, maybe for the first time, I heard him admit that actually he was less certain than he had been. He didn't know when he was going to be able to travel for business again. He wasn't quite sure how the schooling for his children was going to go, especially facing into some of the state exams. And actually admitted a sense of just feeling weighed down by what is going on. A sense of uncertainty. I wish that as we'd walked and prayed, that I'd probed a bit more and maybe been able to speak about the hope of Jesus. But that conversation and the past year for all of us, hasn't it taught us that life is so uncertain? That even the most capable are left staring out to sea, wondering what's coming down the road. How have you found it, the uncertainty? Maybe as you've thought about how much you're allowed to see your friends or go to school, it's exams or how you can take holidays or chances to see family or career. I mean, it just affects everything at the moment, doesn't it? Have you found it unsettling? Crushing, maybe? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, how has it affected your faith? Have you found your faith growing? Or have you found yourself less certain, questioning, you know, where is God in this? What are his purposes? At the moment in this country, we are waiting for an injection or maybe for two injections. What we all need is an injection of certainty in our uncertain world. And there is no better place to go than the book of Acts. What it's going to help us have is certainty, not about everything, but about things of primary importance. Give us confidence, not in ourselves, but in God and his purposes. Well, I wonder, how familiar are you with the book of Acts? So, children, you'll know some of the stories, probably the one about how Peter's rescued from prison by an angel or how Paul is lowered down the outside of a city wall in a basket. Maybe you'll know some of those stories. But what is Acts about? What's it for? Is it the history of how the church started? Well, you read Acts, and yes, absolutely, it's historical. But it's not a history book, just a history book. It leaves so much out. There's so much that we'd love to know. Okay, well, maybe it's a handbook then. The dummy's guide on how to do church. Yes, there's important lessons about how to do church. But at other times, you're reading Acts, and it's just so confusing because the Christians at the time were actually working things out as they went. The big challenge, and we'll see this time and time as we go through Acts, is what is prescriptive, that is, things that we must do, and what is descriptive, just things they did. Well, let's have a look at Acts. Luke, who wrote Acts, starts with these words. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote. Before we go even any further, Luke says he's got a former book. This is book two, Acts. There's book one. We heard about this in the readings, didn't we? To understand what is going on in Acts, we need a reminder of why Luke writes at all. Why did he write book one? And so I want to take you back to the beginning of book one. the Gospel of Luke. So Luke chapter 1. I'll give you a moment to find it. We had these verses, 1 to 4, read earlier in our broadcast this morning. And did you notice we heard about fulfillment? Verse 1, the things that have been fulfilled. We heard about eyewitnesses. We heard about the Word of God. But notice what Luke's gospel is supposed to do. Verse 4, Luke writes these things so that you, Theophilus, and actually anyone reading it, may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Why did Luke write the Gospel of Luke? It was to give certainty. In fact, this is why Luke writes full stop. And when we get to volume 2, Acts, it is to give certainty. Well, certainty about what? Come with me to the end of Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 24. And just from verse 44 onwards, we had these words read as well, verses 44 to 49. And again, what did we see? We saw it was about fulfillment, verse 44. It was about witnesses, verse 48. Again, it was about the Word of God, that the things that had been written. But look at this, verse 44. He, that's Jesus, said to them, the disciples, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Jesus says to them, everything must be fulfilled. All that stuff that is written about me in the Old Testament, about Jesus, he says. And Jesus tells them exactly what must be fulfilled. In fact, three things we see must be fulfilled. They're in verse 46. Let me read from verse 45. See if you can spot all three. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Did you get the three things? One, the Messiah will suffer. Two, the Messiah will rise. And three, the Messiah will be preached to all nations. Well, the first two, by the time we get to the end of Luke's gospel, have been fulfilled, haven't they? Jesus has died and risen. That is what book one is about. What about the third thing? Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Well, it is still to be fulfilled at this point, and that is what book two, Acts, is about. And Jesus says it must happen. In fact, Jesus is saying that it is just as certain that the gospel will go to the nations as it is that Jesus would die and rise. How certain are you that the gospel is powerful, that it's growing, that the gospel is going to the nations, that it is God's purpose for the world? Well, we should be as certain as we are that Jesus died and rose. It must happen, Jesus says. Well, I wonder, you know, at the end of Lucas, the disciples were listening to this and looking at each other. Was there a sense in which they thought, oh, well, there's just so few? I mean, how is this possible? Was there some uncertainty there? And then, right at the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus leaves them. And the credits roll. And Luke's gospel ends. Until the sequel. Turn back with me to Acts and chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach." All that Jesus began to do. In other words, Luke says to Theophilus now, let me tell you what Jesus is continuing to do and teach. What Jesus started, he will finish. And that is what Acts is about. It is to give us certainty that Jesus is continuing his work, that God is fulfilling his great purposes for the world, the ones he's promised, and how it is possible for this good news of Jesus to go to the ends of the earth. Here's my summary for you, if you like, of Acts. It is the Acts of Jesus. The Acts of Jesus, as Jesus' people take Jesus' word to Jesus' world by the power of Jesus' Spirit. Will I give that to you again? It's the Acts of Jesus, as Jesus' people take Jesus' word to Jesus' world by the power of Jesus' Spirit. And the effect it should have on us? Certainty. You might want to say, certainty about what? Well, we're going to see three things. Here's the first. Certain about the goal. There's a family here in Dublin who, during lockdown, decided that they were going to climb Kilimanjaro. I think it was. It was one of the biggest mountains in the world. I think it was Kilimanjaro. And so the dad said to the family, we're going to climb Kilimanjaro. And what he did was he worked out how high Kilimanjaro was, and then he measured how high the stairs went in their house. And over a matter of weeks, in their house, they climbed Kilimanjaro. I mean, like, how did they keep going, you know, when they were just feeling like they had enough? Or, you know, one of the kids was like, Dad, really? As they got to the 15th step for the 100th time, do we really have to do this? Well, they had a goal. They were going to reach Kilimanjaro. God has a goal, and it's not going to fail. And it is a goal for this good news of Jesus to go to the ends of the earth. Jesus says to his apostles, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. As we go through the book of Acts, we're going to see this happening. We'll see this being fulfilled as a movement that starts in Jerusalem, chapters 1 to 7. Well, then he's pushed out of Jerusalem. In 8 to 12, we see the gospel going to Judea and Samaria. And then in chapters 13 to 28, starting to go to the wider world. Because wherever Christians go, the gospel goes with them. They take it with them. When we look at the world, do you maybe ask, you know, Jesus, what are you up to? I mean, what are God's purposes at the moment? There's much we don't know, but we do know. We are absolutely certain that Jesus is still at work. He's still concerned for our world. He's still concerned so that the ends of the earth get to know what we know. Get to taste what we've tasted if we're genuine Christians. That he loves us. That he has died for our sin. And that he has risen again to give us true life, new life, eternal life. Jesus is still at work. Do you know, even while we've been locked down, over the past while, there are people attending on Zoom, Life Explored, that would never have come to the building because either they didn't want to or they just live too far away from Grosvenor. Jesus is still at work. A friend of mine who's a pastor says he has had people tune in to their online broadcasts and then come to their physical services that he's never had contact with before. Jesus is still at work. I wonder what our goals are this week. What's your goal? Is it just to get through with a few less tears, a few less angry words? Or maybe you've just got no idea. Who knows? God's goal is certain. And it should reshape our goals. Why are we here? What is his purpose for us this week? Well, certainly it is to be involved in this great purpose. How is God's great purpose affecting our goals this week? Maybe it'll mean we'll be praying for that missionary on the other side of the world. Maybe it's that we'll be recognizing people are more willing to talk about life and death and just looking for opportunities. Maybe praying for an opportunity to express the confidence and joy that we have because of Jesus. It'll be to do whatever we do for the glory of Jesus and that his fame might go to the ends of the earth. God's goal is certain, and it should enlarge our goals. So my concern shouldn't be myself or just, you know, those who are close to me or my locality or my nation. It should be the world that is lost and yet loved by Jesus. It's so exciting that on Tuesday night, part of what we'll be doing in our members' meeting is discussing and deciding whether to send two new missionaries across the world with the gospel. Certain about the goal. Certain about the gospel. Do you ever have doubts about whether what you believe is true? I certainly do. Maybe doubts, is Jesus really able to change lives? Is what I believed really what Jesus taught? Well, again, we need an injection of Acts. What we'll see as we read through is that it confirms the gospel. Have a look at verses 2 and 3 of chapter 1. I'll read from verse 1 again. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. These apostles, they'd seen it all. They'd seen Jesus walk on water. They'd seen him feed thousands. They'd seen him hung on a cross, breathed his last. And then they saw him rise again. In fact, they had many convincing proofs that here he was alive. And so now he tells them to go and to be his witnesses. And as we read Acts, that's what we'll see. That's exactly what they do. And they really are convinced. They're unstoppable. At times they're flogged or stoned, even executed by the sword. But they say, we won't stop speaking about Jesus and the joy that we have in him. More than that, they do what Jesus did. We'll see them heal the lame, exorcise demons, even raise the dead. And these are here in Acts, not to make us expect to be able to do the same, but to validate those apostles, that they really were Jesus' appointed messengers. And to give us confidence that their gospel is God's gospel. And what is their gospel? Well, again, as we go through Acts, it clarifies the gospel. What is the good news? What powers are we expected to have in this life? What are the things we must do as a Christian? And where do we have freedom? Who can be a Christian? The believers in Acts encounter those questions and many more. And at the heart of the gospel is this. Have a look at chapter 4 and verse 12 with me. Chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. No other name. What name's that? It's Jesus. Peter has just been saying. It's fascinating in this book of Acts, in a book that is so full of the Holy Spirit and all that he does, and so full of how the church is formed and miracles and evil spirits and conversations about politics. What is it the witnesses want to talk about? Their message is always Jesus. And only Jesus. No one else, it says here. We'll see the message go out and it'll keep hitting barriers. And yet it'll keep breaking through. Because we'll see that this gospel is a gospel that isn't about what race you are, or what color or creed. It's not about how rich or poor you are, how educated or employed you are. It's not even about how moral you are, whether you follow all the rules. No, it's a gospel about Jesus. And as they go out, time and time again in Acts, Acts clarifies the gospel and clarifies what we should expect if we follow Jesus. Oh, yes, there's joy. And there is deep friendship and real confidence and people being saved, but there is also hardship and heartache and opposition and persecution. But as we watch this, we see that these are people who really believed that Jesus was better than anything else. As we face the trials of today, how are you faring? How are we doing in our confidence in the goodness and the good news of Jesus? Do we need an injection of the gospel? I know I do. I came away from that conversation with Anthony just frustrated that I had been pathetic in not taking that opportunity, or even just distracted and not even noticing it. I want to be more able. I feel so powerless at times. And my goodness, acts as an encouragement on this too, because here's the third thing to be certain about: God's power. Back to chapter 1 and verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The Holy Spirit given to the apostles, the Holy Spirit given to every true believer. One of the people listening to those words at the time was Peter. And do you remember Peter? Do you remember how he had said to Jesus, "I'll never desert you. I will go to prison with you. I'll die with you." And then just a little time after, well, Jesus is on trial before the Sanhedrin, and Peter, well, he's in the sort of background, and a girl comes up to him, and he says, "Hey, do you know Jesus?" And he says, "I don't know him." I mean, Peter, how is he going to change? How is he going to be a witness to the world? You will receive power. With God's Spirit in him, what we see is a change. Peter, in chapter 4, he is standing trial with the Sanhedrin. He's the one on trial, but this time he doesn't go, "Oh no, I don't know Jesus." He says, "I can't help but speak about Jesus." Later in Acts, we'll meet Paul and many others just changed beyond recognition. And when we open our eyes, we know this about his power, don't we? Because actually, we've seen his power at work in our lives, even if it's been over a long period of time. We've seen his power at work in others' lives. We have this power in us as we live for him and witness for him. But you know, the biggest evidence of power in Acts, it's not Peter and Paul, but actually the spread of the gospel. It starts with a small group in an obscure city in the Middle East. And even after thousands have joined them, well, one of the local powers says, "You know, just give it time, it'll fail." In fact, the attacks keep coming. So there's persecution and imprisonment and assassination attempts and trials. And they come from within as well. There's discord and there's jealousy. And yet, throughout the book, we keep hearing this refrain. So chapter 6, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Chapter 9, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, the church increased in numbers. And again, but the word of God continued to spread and flourish. And then again, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all appointed to eternal life believed. And then we hear this, in this way the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. I don't know if you've been to see the Book of Kells. It's been a very long time since I've been to see it. But it is one of the biggest visitor attractions in Ireland. And pre-COVID days, they got over 1 million visitors a year to see the Book of Kells. Now, recently, it has got a new display cabinet, apparently. So you can see this beautiful book with the four Gospels from about the 8th century, I think it is, in this display cabinet. But you know, it takes all of modern technology to make sure that this book doesn't fade and rot. God's living word is not like that. It is not fading or rotting. How different it is. Its future is not uncertain. It is active, changing us. It is growing and going to the world. The book of Acts ends with one word. It is literally unhinderedly. At the time, Paul is under house arrest. And the point is this. We see obstacles all the time to God and his purposes, but God's purposes are going on unhindered as his gospel goes out. And that story that seems to end with Paul stuck in his home in Rome is a story that's supposed to continue. It becomes our story of us taking the gospel to the world. You see, our world, it's so uncertain. But if we're Christians, we know there is certainty. And we'll see it over and over again in Acts. Certainty of a goal God is working towards, that we are part of, that the ends of the earth will be reached with the good news of Jesus. Certainty of a gospel that is true and offers life and joy that not even death or COVID can take away. Certainty of a God who is powerful. Jesus is still at work powerfully in us and in our world by his Spirit, through his word, through his witnesses. So I hope you're looking forward to seeing more of this great God and gospel as we go through Acts over the next while. Let me pray. Our great God and Father, we thank you so much for all that the Lord Jesus began to do. Those truths from Luke's gospel of how your Son came and lived and died and rose that we might be forgiven for our sins. But we praise you that it didn't stop there, that news of rescue and salvation and life in your Son has gone out to the nations, so much so that we here today in Ireland know this great news and you, our great God. And we pray that the story wouldn't end there. Would you encourage us with the certainty of the goal that you are working towards, of the gospel and its good news, and of your power at work in us and through us. Encourage us as we go into this week with these truths, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to sing. It's a song that encourages us to go and make Jesus known. Well, can I just remind you of a couple of things before we finish our broadcast? Our members' meeting happening on Tuesday night. If you're a member or associate member, I'd love to see you there. Do tune in, 8 p.m. Do be on time. We've got lots to get through. Do consider reading Acts over the next number of weeks yourself and have a look at the details in the weekly email. And next week, we will be broadcasting again, same time, 10:30, and thinking more about Jesus and his work in us and in the world. So do please tune in for that. I'm going to finish with a final prayer. Now to him who is able to establish us in accordance with the gospel, the message about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery, hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the world might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen.